భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి జగద్గురు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయ. ఓం విష్ణు పాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య స్తోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి గోస్వామి మహారాజ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయ. అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి జయ. గ్రంథరాజ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కీ జయ. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరాంగ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జాయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవద్యుత్తమశ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. సో వేర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో నంబర్ 3 chapter number 4 entitled Vidura approaches Maitreya, text number 20. Please repeat after me. Sa evam aradhita pada tirthad adhita tatvatma vibodha margaha pranamya పాదౌ పరివృత్య దేవం ఇహాగతో అహం విర్హాతురాత్మా. స ఏవమారాధిత పాద తీర్థాత్ అధీత తత్వాత్మ విబోధ మార్గః ప్రణమ్య పాదౌ పరివృత్య దేవం ఇహాగతోహం విరహాతురాత్మా. స ఏవ మారాధిత పాద తీర్థా అధీత తత్వాత్మ విబోధ మార్గః ప్రణమ్య పాదౌ పరివృత్య దేవ ఇహాగతోహం విరహాతురాత్మా. స ఏవ మారాధిత పాద తీర్థా అధీత తత్వాత్మ విబోధ మార్గః ప్రణమ్య పాదౌ పరివృత్య దేవం మిహాగతోహం విరహాతురాత్మా. ప్లీజ్ రిపీట్. ప్రణమ్య పాదౌ పరివృత్య దేవం నివృత్తదేవ సహేమదాయతీర్థ ప్రణమ్య పాద పరివృత్య దేవం సేవమారాధిత పాద తీర్థ ఆగతోహం విరహాతురాత్మా ఇహాగతోహం విరహాతురాత్మా సైవమారాధిత పాదతీర్థ అదితమత్వాత్మవిబోధ So myself, evam, thus, aradhita, worshipped, pada tirtha, from the personality of Godhead, adhita, studied, tattva atma, self-knowledge, vibodha, understanding, margaha, path, pranamya, after saluting, padau, at his lotus feet, parivrutya, after circumambulating, devam, the Lord, iha, at this place, agataha, reached, aham, I, viraha, separation, atur atma, aggrieved in self. Translation and purport by Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The translation. I have studied the path of understanding self-knowledge from my spiritual master, the personality of Godhead. And thus, after circumambulating him, I have come to this place very much aggrieved due to separation. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Uddhava's actual life is the direct symbol of the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, enunciated first to Brahmaji by the personality of Godhead. These four very great and important verses from Srimad Bhagavatam are particularly taken out by the Mayavadi speculators, who construe a different purport to suit their impersonal view of monism. Here is the proper answer to such unauthorized speculators. The verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are purely theistic science, understandable by the postgraduate students of Bhagavad Gita. The unauthorized dry speculators are offenders at the lotus feet of the Lord Shri Krishna because they distort the purports of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam to mislead the public and prepare a direct path to the hell known as Andhata Mishra. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 16:20, such envious speculators are without knowledge and are surely condemned life after life. They unnecessarily take shelter of Sripad Shankaracharya. But he was not so drastic as to commit an offense at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. According to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sripad Shankaracharya preached the Mayavad philosophy for a particular purpose. Such a philosophy was necessary to defeat the Buddhist philosophy of the non-existence of the spirit soul, but it was never meant for perpetual acceptance. It was an emergency. Thus Lord Krishna was accepted by Shankaracharya as the personality, as the supreme personality of Godhead in his commentation on Bhagavad Gita. Since he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, he did not dare write any commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam because that would have been a direct offense at the lotus feet of the Lord. But later speculators in the name of Mayavad philosophy unnecessarily make their commentary on the Chatushloki Bhagavatam without any bona fide intent. The monistic dry speculators have no business in the Srimad Bhagavatam because this particular Vedic literature is forbidden for them by the great author himself. Srila Vyasadeva has definitely forbidden persons engaged in religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and finally salvation from trying to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, which is not meant for them. Bhagavatam 1.1.2. Shripad Sridhar Swami, the great commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, has definitely forbidden this salvationist or monists to deal in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not for them. Yet such unauthorized persons perversely try to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, and thus they commit offenses at the feet of the Lord, which even Shripad Shankaracharya dared not do. Thus they prepare for their continuation of miserable life. It should be particularly noted herein that Uddhava studied the Chatushloki Bhagavatam directly from the Lord, who spoke them first to Brahmaji, and this time the Lord explained more confidentially the self-knowledge mentioned as the Paramasthitim. Upon learning such self-knowledge of love, Uddhava felt very much aggrieved by feelings of separation from the Lord. Unless one is awakened to the stage of Uddhava, everlastingly feeling the separation of the Lord in transcendental love as exhibited by Lord Chaitanya also, one cannot understand the real import of the four essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. One should not indulge in the unauthorized act of twisting the meaning and thereby putting himself on the dangerous path of offense. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Dam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Hivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Krishna. So we'll start, but what is Mayavad? The literal translation of Maya, Vad. Maya means illusion, and Vad means Siddhanta. So the Siddhanta that is based on illusion, it's called Mayavad. So Srila Prabhupada has always been very serious about defeating this Siddhanta, because it is upper Siddhanta. It's not the real Siddhanta. It's a twisted meaning of the pure words coming from the lotus mouth of Supreme Personality of Godhead or the great acharyas in the line. They have given such pure message, but people sometimes they take the words, but then they apply their own meaning. For example, I have a friend who loves drinking Coca-Cola. He's a devotee of Coca-Cola. And I asked him, because he's like a very senior devotee, and he's very famous, and he knows everything, because, you know, initiated, everything is nice. So I asked him, like, why do you do that? So he says, Srila Prabhupada says, you know, time, place and circumstances. And right now the circumstance is pulling me. It's taking me towards Coca-Cola. Then I told him that still, you know, it has caffeine and it may not be good for your health. And that's not what we usually do. That's not the regular path of devotees. Why are you starting your own path? So he said, he told me this, that there was one time that Srila Prabhupada was actually traveling in a car. And Srila Prabhupada, he was sitting in the back seat. And Srila Prabhupada, while going in the car, he would always see these big billboards everywhere, different advertisements, Coca-Cola everywhere. And like, Srila Prabhupada used to wonder, what is this Coca-Cola? Like, such a famous thing I have never seen in America. Everybody is like that's the buzzword. So Srila Prabhupada actually told his disciple named Pradyumna Prabhu, that why don't you talk to this company and somehow if we can persuade them to name their product as Hare Krishna, then everybody will be chanting Hare Krishna instead of Coca-Cola. That would be the buzzword. And, you know, by that way, we can make people chant Hare Krishna. Now, this person took this incident and he applied out of context that Srila Prabhupada is fine drinking with Coca-Cola. He's like, because he's not like that. He's not rigid. But Srila Prabhupada's intention is pure. Srila Prabhupada wants each and every person to chant the holy name of Krishna. That's pure intention. But sometimes we take the pure intention from the pure Mahabhagavata devotee and then we apply our own meaning. See, Prabhupada is not fanatic. He's fine with Coca-Cola. He said that. So that is, in this purport, very much condemned. Twisting of the words or twisting the pure teachings and applying your own meaning according to your own desire, you know, that which suits you, is very much condemned. Why? If you want to commit something, some activity, something wrong or some sin, you can use your own. You can say that, oh, I am not pure enough. Somehow it is my desire. Instead of putting it on great devotees, instead of putting it in the name of God, let us drink wine. Or in the name of, you know, God, let's do this. So don't apply your incompetence and put it on the name of great devotee. So that's why it is offense. Because you are committing sin, but in the name of Prabhupada, that's not proper. So, Mayavad basically means upper Siddhanta, or the Siddhanta that is based on Maya. So if you ask any Mayavadi, they have like different types. But basically, most of them, they say the ultimate absolute truth is formless. It's nirakar, nirvishesh, There is no form, no qualities. And ultimately, we also merge. When we become pure, when we become properly situated, then we also merge into that. So if you ask them that, do you have a form? He says, yes, of course, you are seeing me, I have form. Did your father have form? Yes, he has a form. And how about his father? Your grandfather, he had form? Yes. So his great-grandfather, and everybody has form, but ultimately the Supreme Father, that is God, they say, no. God has no form. So Jiv Goswami in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, he says that taking away the form from the God, taking away the qualities of God, taking away his beauty is as good as atheism. If there is a great person you want to describe, and if you say that, oh, my friend, Bhrugupati Prabhu, he is a great person, he is amazing. And if somebody asks, you know, so how does he look? No, he is everywhere. So there is, he doesn't have hands, he doesn't have legs, he doesn't have a face. In a way, I'm saying that he doesn't exist. Because, you know, like there is no description. He is great, great, great. But there is no description. So in a way, we are saying that he doesn't exist. Even though we are there, even though the Mayavadis, they sometimes glorify God, use the same scriptures, twist the meanings, and ultimately they deny the existence. So Jiva Goswami says that it's a very twisted mentality of the Mayavadi impersonalists, just to ultimately, you know, they want to merge in the God. Also, they give an example, Ghatakash. They say that we are all like clay pots. Inside the clay pot, there is vacuum. Outside the clay pot is big vacuum. So when the pot is broken, ultimately, then the vacuum inside will merge with the vacuum outside. So that they mean to say that this ghata means like a clay pot is like our body. Inside is vacuum, outside is vacuum. Ultimately, they will merge. If you ask them that how will that pot be broken, they'll say that by knowledge. So that means if there is like a hammer of knowledge with which you can break the pot and ultimately merge. So see, their philosophy, already they introduced there is a pot. So there is not that everything is one. There is a pot. Then they say there is also knowledge. There is existence of knowledge. And somebody has to also break the pot with the knowledge. And ultimately they say, we merge. If you ask them a simple question, who is going to break the pot? They say, don't ask too many questions. And there has to be a hammer. So who is actually breaking the pot? Is it me? So they say, no. Don't ask too many questions. So Srila Prabhupada, he explains that actually there is called Brahma Jyoti. That is the effulgence that comes from the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That effulgence is the Nirakar Roop of God. There is a personality of God, and the effulgence that comes out is the actual Nirakar Brahma Jyoti. Param Brahma, sometimes they call that Kaivalya. That is ultimately only the effulgence. So God is simultaneously Sakar and also Nirakar. But what is the main beginning point is the person. Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that when you are far, far away from the personality of Godhead, then all you see is light because you are so far away. For example, if somebody wants to take a picture of our deities, Srila Rukmini Dwarkadish, and they're not in the temple, they don't want to come inside the temple, they are far away. And one time when the door is open, they take a picture from a long distance. And then they see that actually in the picture, all I see is like light. Only these lights are shining. So they will say that ultimately the
God, the deities are just light. But if the same person makes friends with a pujari and he says that, oh, my dear friend, can you take a picture of the deities and show me? Then when the pujari will take the picture, then he can actually see the form of God. They will see, oh, God has beautiful face. He has a beautiful smile. And he has enchanting features. He's so beautiful. That can be understood only when someone goes closer to God. So that's why Jiva Goswami also mentions from Bhagavad Sandarbha that when someone is close to Krishna, it could be a pure representative of Krishna, and if you follow their path, if you follow their instructions, and if you hear from a pure devotee of Krishna, who is very close to Krishna, so he can describe the real form, the real features, and the real qualities of Krishna, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from his lotus mouth, we can understand that ultimately God has form, and he is the most beautiful. He is very enchanting. He is the most merciful. So all these qualities will manifest for a person who has understood that there is the personality and who has heard from the personality who is very close to God. So here in the purport we are hearing that Srila Prabhupada mentions that how Sripa Shankaracharya preached Mayavad philosophy for a particular purpose. When Krishna left this world, he had given all the knowledge he had imparted to the specific personalities. He had sown the seeds for the bhakti yoga for the future. But Krishna knew that, of course, there is going to be Kali Yuga coming up. It's not going to be easy. Krishna gave the knowledge, the highest knowledge, in the form of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And after that, Prochodhavayacha param samagat swadhama. Krishna didn't just go. Before Krishna left, he gave the supreme knowledge in the form of Uddhav Gita to Uddhav Maharaj. And we hear that Uddhav Maharaj is so exalted personality. He is such a great devotee. He personally heard from Sri Krishna, from his lotus mouth. And Krishna did not quickly describe the knowledge. As in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also had a, you know, like, okay, it's a situation. There are two armies and we have to fight. We're just taking a time out right now. So Krishna had a time. He wanted to quickly give the knowledge. But when he gave it to Uddhava, he describes in much, much, much finer details. So Uddhava has heard from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when Krishna left, we see that Krishna swadhamo pagate dharma jnana divisa. So all the religiosity from the world also went away. All the knowledge, the pure knowledge was lost because Krishna left this world. So what ultimately happened is after Krishna left and when Kali Yuga began, everybody became so sinful, drastic. There's a huge change. Anything that starts in the beginning, it's very harsh. Just like the pandemic when it started in 2020. How harsh was it? Practically every day, 5,000 people from United States would die every day. And we were so like, everyone was like, what is going on? Are we going to survive next 6 months? Or is it the end of the world? Everybody was like thinking, what's going on? But then slowly, slowly, we're still in pandemic, but we don't care. Like most of you are not even wearing masks. So the beginning was harsh. The same way the Kali Yuga when it began, the beginning was very harsh. So there was misuse of the Vedic textures. All the Vedic texts, all the scriptures that are supposed to guide the humanity and take to the supreme path towards the kingdom of God. Actually, the same texts were misused by the so-called Mayavadis or impersonalists or people with ulterior motives who just wanted to enjoy, just like our Coca-Cola guy, they wanted to kill animals. They wanted to eat meat. And they would say, scripture say that. In the name of scripture, they started killing the animals. In the name of the Vedas, they started killing so many animals, so many cows. And it happened so that the temples started looking like slaughterhouses. That's a ghastly scene. Temples which are supposed to look divine and pure and bring the humanity to a higher platform of goodness. The temple started looking like the places of slaughterhouse where they would see the blood on the floor. And the temples were filled with the screams and cries of innocent animals. And that's why when it became unbearable, we see that Buddha appears. Why Buddha appeared? Because the people, they needed to hear that these Vedas, which you are using as a tool to satisfy your own tongue, to kill animals. So that's why we see when Gautam Buddha appeared, he disregarded Vedas. He said there is no need of Vedas. There is no soul. There is no God. There is this all world is all full of illusion. Ultimately everything is zero. That's why he gave Shunyavad. And he told everyone and he like made so many followers. And he stopped the animal sacrifice by saying Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. Ultimately, the highest principle of religion is non-violence. Do not kill animals. Be compassionate. And his philosophy is the existence of non-existence. It doesn't make any sense that if somebody says to you that we have to reach a state of nirvana. What happens in nirvana? Nirvana is a place where when you go, you become non-existent. Doesn't make any sense. But you will enjoy. But how can someone be in the state of nirvana and you will be completely happy, but you don't have existence? It's like someone telling you, just commit suicide and your life will be all set. You'll be happy. When the body is not there, how can you be happy? If someone commits suicide thinking I'll be happy, that's the utter foolishness. So, but Gautam Buddha, he did it. He did it just to dissuade people from killing animals. And then later on we see that Lord Shankara, like Lord Shiva, he describes to Mother Parvati that in the age of Kali, I appear as a Brahmana and I bring back all the people who have gone away from the Vedas. And I established the authority of Vedas again. So that was the purpose of Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya is Lord Shiva's, is very difficult mission. The mission that, you know, he is actually a devotee of Krishna. But he had to preach against Krishna's devotion. Such a difficult job that he had to do. So there are like actually main three reasons Shankaracharya appears. That first one is he wanted to separate the true Vaishnavas from the pseudo Vaishnavas. Like sometimes it's all mixed, right? And because of that, the good Vaishnavas, they're affected by the bad association. So if you come here in the temple and you want to know who are the real Vaishnavas, whom should I associate and whom should I avoid? I want to separate. So, if you make an announcement that, dear Matajis, dear Prabhus, there will be free distribution of unlimited wine on the Venice at 6 o'clock in the corner of Venice and Regent, all the pseudo ones will run. Oh, it's free. And then what will remain is the pure Vaishnavas. Those who won't go, then you will understand that, oh, these are the real devotees of Krishna. I want to avoid the ones who ran away in excitement. So that's what Shankaracharya actually did. He announced that Actually, you can become God. You also can become God. We all can become God. We're all part and parcel. We're actually Narayan. They even refer to each other as Narayan. So that's the Shankaracharya's philosophy. But ultimately, at the end, Shankaracharya also established the principle and he offered the obeisances to the personality of Godhead. It happened that one time his mother was actually going to pass away. There is a disciple of Adi Shankaracharya called Totakacharya. He writes in his book that when the mother of Shankaracharya was about to pass away from the world, she called Shankaracharya and he came. And she said that, "Oh Shankar, you preach all this nonsense, but I am about to die. Tell me the real purport of the Vedas. Tell me about that person whom you adore within the core of your hearts, whom you glorify, whom you remember." So Shankara started again saying that actually it's all Nirakar, Nirvishesh, and we are also Nirakar, Nirvishesh, no form, no. She said, "Stop with this nonsense. Don't tell me all that. I don't have much time. I'm about to die. Tell me the real purport. Tell me about that person whom you worship within the core of your heart." Then he started, okay, there is a Paramatma in our heart. And he is the one who is overwatching us. Who is the one who sanctions everyone? She said, stop. Tell me about the person. Tell me about that person whom you worship within your heart. Whom you are constantly thinking about. Then he looked at all his disciples and he said, "Now you go out. You get out of here." Then he closed the doors. And then he said to his mother, "Now mother, you listen about Radha Shyama Sundar." So ultimately, Shankaracharya, within his heart, he is the devotee of Radha Krishna. And even towards the end of his life, he told that Brahman mixes with Brahman. So while he was going with so many disciples, there was like a factory of melting the iron. So he went and he took a cup. He took molten iron in a cup and he drank it. And all the disciples were like, their jaws were dropping. Like, "What did you just do?" And he said, "This is Brahman. I am Brahman. Brahman mixed with Brahman. So you also do it. You follow me, right?" And all the disciples were like shaking. They were thinking that, If we do that, we're going to be burnt to death. But he said that, "You fools, bhaja govindam bhaja mudamate. You fools, you should always worship Krishna. Only worship Krishna. Govindam bhajam. And mudamate. Prata sandik dhai marane nahi nahi rakshati dukrung karne." At the time of death, all your foolish, dry speculations, they won't work. All your croaking like a crow, like a frog. If you make the sounds like a frog, you will only attract the serpent of death and he will kill you. So that's why you should only worship Govinda. Govindam bhaja mudhamate. So later on we see that's why when Vaishnava Acharyas come from Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, and we see from there that there is a firm establishment of Vaishnava Siddhanta. Why? Because Shankaracharya took away all the Mayavadis. They separated. So, you know, ultimate aim of Shankaracharya was to separate the Mayavadis from the real true Vaishnavas and ultimately get them defeated. And they will suffer their own whatever and they will come back. Because at the end of the Mayavad, at the end of impersonalism, even if someone achieves the highest liberation, they will only go up to Brahma Jyoti. They are not going to enter anything else. They are going to only live in the Brahma Jyoti, the bodily effulgence of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So somebody asked Srila Prabhupada that, "Srila Prabhupada, there is happiness in the Brahma Jyoti, the Brahman effulgence." Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, there is happiness, but there is no rasa. And because there is no rasa," rasa means ultimately the reciprocation. that happens between two devotees or between the devotee and Krishna. So that rasa, the relationship is not there in Brahma Jyoti. That's why he falls down again. It's like there is a glass and a fly is trying to enter on the other side of the glass because there is light. So the fly is constantly trying, but it's always getting beaten by, constantly hitting the glass. And ultimately it happens that, you know, zzz, zzz. So ultimately it cannot merge. Merging doesn't happen. But in that process, the fly falls down. So Jiva Goswami mentions the same way that he says that, he gives an example. If a woman is being chased by goons and she has a baby, so a lady with a baby, a little baby, she's running away from the goons and they're trying to chase her. They want to kill her. And she's so, you know, fatigued. But somehow she's running, running, running. Finally, she sees a house. And then she is running to take shelter of that house. But while she about to enter the house, she, on the step, she fumbles and drops the baby. But somehow she enters the house and closes the doors. Oh, I have finally made it. Now I am safe here. But then what is going to happen? Those goons, those wranglers, they're going to take the baby and they're going to tell her that, ha 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 ha, come out now. Your baby is with us. You cannot escape. So just because the baby is outside, you know, all her efforts, all her hard work, and that shelter is not supreme. Why? Because ultimately she has to come back to get the baby. So Jiva Goswami mentions in the Sandarbhas that similarly, when a Mayavadi or impersonalist, even if achieves the Brahma Jyoti, if merges in the effulgence, because there is no rasa, you know, all the goons, they say that, get out of here. You have to come back to the material world. Because the rasa, the main ingredient that the soul always hankers for is rasa. And that rasa is not present in Brahma Jyoti. The real rasa is beyond Brahma Jyoti in the spiritual world. But the impersonalist does not have access to go forward in the spiritual world. So he has to come back and eat and, you know, try to take the rotten rasa of the material world. He wants rasa somehow. And there is no possibility of him getting the spiritual rasa. So he has to come and suck on the rotten rasa of the material world. So Jiva Goswami Pad really beautifully mentions this. So Srila Prabhupada, he always told that Mayavad has to be finished, has to be defeated. That Srila Prabhupada, one time in a class, he said that Mayavadis, they are trying to kill my Krishna. Mayavadis, they are trying to kill my Krishna. And it was like the beginning days of Hare Krishna movement. And the hippies who were sitting there, they were like, oh, this Mayavadi, whoever that guy is, Mayavadi, we're going to get him and we're going to beat him and we're going to bring him at the feet of the Swamiji. Why is he bothering our Swamiji so much? So after the class, they went and they said, Swamiji, give us the address of this Mr. Mayavadi. So Srila Prabhupada laughed like anything. And Srila Prabhupada said that you got the Siddhanta. You got it. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. So we'll stop. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Pooh. Great class, as usual. Where did that story about Shankaracharya's mother come from? And the drinking the molten.
The story about the mother is from a book by Totakacharya. Shankaracharya's prominent disciple, Totaka. And then he wrote about the lives and teachings of Shankaracharya. But at the end, he mentions that our spiritual master, he was like a spy in disguise. we never understood him. So that's the conclusion of his commentary. So he wrote about his spiritual master, about his life.
Okay. And one little comment. I mean, Srila Prabhupada did drink 7-Up. You know that, right?
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, he used to call it bubbly.
Don't let your friend know that, though.
What's that?
Don't let your friend know that. He'll probably use it. But anyway.
Hare Krishna. So if the Mayavadi say that we're all one, and that you give the example of like the pot, and if you break the pot, then you... But where does... First of all, if everything is Brahman, how did we become an illusion in the first place? Where does Maya come from? And if they think there's Maya, then that means not everything's one, right? So where does... Where do they say that Maya comes from, and how did we come into illusion?
See, Mayavadi philosophy, they say that when the impersonal Brahman is polluted by the mode of goodness, then all the incarnations come in the world. Rama, Varaha, Narasimha, Krishna. It's ultimately the impersonal Brahman which is polluted with mode of goodness becomes Bhagavat Tattva. When the impersonal Brahman is polluted with the mode of passion, all the living entities are born and, you know, they are made to work. Ultimately, you know, we're very passionate and we're running here, running there, doing this work, doing that work. And then they say that when the impersonal Brahman is polluted with the mode of ignorance, then the matter is born. So that's the philosophy. And if you ask them, where did the Maya come from? What is the source of Maya? They say it comes from avidya. So you ask them, then where does the avidya come from? Avidya comes from Maya. Okay, so where did Maya come from? Avidya. Where did avidya come from? Maya. Where did both came from? Each other. They are like completely confused. So that's why it's better to just stay away from that type of philosophy, because they themselves don't know what to say. It's like they don't have a firm Siddhanta. Even within the Mayavadi class, like Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Shankaracharya did not touch Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is as good as personality of Godhead. It's Sakshat Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. So he did not twist the meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam. He did not touch it. But then later on, we see the people, the foolish people, they even have twisted Chaturshloki Bhagavat, and they have even twisted the meanings of Bhagavatam. And then it has just become completely crazy. Like if you ask them any question, they don't have a firm answer. And if you ask two Mayavadis, two impersonalists, the same question, you get different answers. So they're very confused right now.
I have a question also on that. They can also accuse us of the same thing.
Sorry?
They can accuse us of the same thing. Because, you know, they say, well, how does a jiva come to the material world? You can ask two different devotees and get two different answers.
See, our answers are always going to be one. Like, our answer has to be one. There could be two explanations, but the base is one. How, you know, like if you ask a devotee, how is the spiritual world, how does it look like? So you'll get the verses from Bhagavatam, or you can even quote some verses from Bhagavad Gita. And then, you know, then we can describe based on the same scriptures. Our scriptures are same and the explanation are pretty much the same in Vaishnava Siddhanta, if you ask a Vaishnava. But of course, if you ask two different Vaishnavas from two different sampradayas, there will be little slight difference. But the Siddhanta is, Vaishnava Siddhanta is same, that there is God and there is all the living entities. The living entities are equal to God in terms of quality, but they're infinitesimal, and God is infinite. So in terms of quantity, they differ a lot. Like there is a huge difference. So if somebody is very well versed in Vaishnava Siddhanta, then he will give the right explanation of all the scriptures. And based on the Vaishnava scriptures and he can actually describe how, and it will make sense. Because see, Mayavad philosophy, like you ask them any basic questions, they try to run away from the questions because there is no specific answer, because the words are twisted. Just like Krishna clearly says that Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. This is a straight, simple statement. Krishna says, surrender unto me. But they say that me that Krishna is referring to is not ordinary me. It's the me of the ultimate Brahman. Brahman is speaking through Krishna's mouth that you surrender unto me, meaning you surrender unto the Brahman. It's impersonal, you know, formless. But that doesn't make sense. Just like if I ask that, oh, Prabhu, can you bring some water? And if you say that, oh, when he says water, that means wine. No, that's not what I said. It's just like a simple, plain instruction. Or if somebody says that, oh, when he asks water, he means to slap. So let's slap him. No, there's like a clear statements don't need to be twisted.
Of the jiva. You know, Prabhupada's take on it was that we started in the spiritual world in a developed relationship with Krishna. And then there's other devotees who present that, well, Jiva Goswami said this, or this one said that, or this one said that. That we didn't start that. And so that, I think he's referring to that.
See, the common understanding of the Vaishnava acharyas, especially the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that the living entities, they have come from the spiritual world. Because if they have not come from spiritual world, then they have come here and Krishna is just like a crazy person trying to make them suffer and learn their path upwards. It's like someone is playing with ants and they want the strongest ant to win. But God is not with that crooked mentality. Ultimately, it's very easy to understand that the living entities are coming from the spiritual world because we have all the qualities. Even if we look into ourselves, we have the qualities. We're pleasure seeking. We are, you know, we love to have relationships, and a real thing that attracts us is love. We can actually see that all these qualities match with the description. And ultimately, of course, we have impurities. So if there is an impurity within us, then also that explanation fits, that because of some impurity or some offense or being envious of God, we have come down to enjoy. And God is mercifully giving us that chance to enjoy. That God is saying that Krishna in the spiritual world, he thinks that, okay, you want to be God, then this is not the place, because in this place, there is only one God, that is Krishna. There is only one enjoyer, that is Krishna. So if you want to enjoy, I'll make you enjoyer, I'll make you a mini God, but there is a different place for that. So it just makes sense how jiva comes from the spiritual world to the material world. So it actually, everything fits in, but you know, the problem is we listen to many things, or listen half things, you know, like we listen the Jiva Goswami Siddhanta, but we listen only half. We don't completely understand. If we completely understand the Siddhanta of Jiva Goswami, even Sridhar Swami, Ramanujacharya, ultimately the Siddhanta is the same. If our understanding is not complete.
Okay, but, so are you saying that these devotees who are quoting, say, Jiva Goswami or somebody else have misunderstood? They haven't, you know, if they really understood Jiva Goswami or Bhaktivinoda properly, they would come to the conclusion that we've come from the spiritual world?
Yes, the conclusion, okay. So there are two ways you are saying. What is the second explanation? What is the second explanation you are saying about Jiva Goswami?
No, I just mentioned another name. I can't remember, but I know they mentioned Jiva Goswami.
I have only heard that only there are two different explanations about this. One is that jiva comes from the spiritual world to the material world. And the second explanation is Jiva comes, Jiva is,
to touch
when Krishna is expanding, Jiva is come into existence and then he's put into the material world. So Jiva is fresh stock that is coming from Krishna, but he's put into material world, or he's coming from the spiritual. That's the two explanations I've heard. Like, do you know of any third explanation?
Tatastha. They start off in the Tatastha.
Tatastha is only type of, his only energy of Krishna. Tatastha means he who is on a tata, spiritual and material. So on the tata, Tatastha, yeah, Tatastha, some people explain as if that on the tata, the jiva is there, he has a choice to go on this side or that side, in the spiritual side or the material side. But even if you accept jiva is tatastha, but still he has to choose energy. The jiva by himself does not have any capacity to create or anything. So the jiva has to choose between the spiritual or material.
Okay, let me just... So. This all started because you made the statement that if you ask two Mayavadis, they'll get two different versions. And he said, well, they could also accuse us of that, because if you ask two different devotees, you get two different explanations about the origin of the jiva. So your conclusion, your statement, is your position is that, no, you won't. Devotees who properly understand what the different acharyas have said will all tell you that the origin of the jiva is the spiritual world.
When Srila Prabhupada was asked these questions, Srila Prabhupada would say that the aim, like, instead of going back, how about we think about the future? What is the future of the Mayavadis? Ultimately, Mayavadis, even if they achieve the highest liberation, they're coming back to the world of death. And for the devotees, at least we should agree that, right? There is no two opinions on that, that when someone achieves the love of Godhead, then he goes to the spiritual world. That's there is no doubt, right? So if we look forward then backward, like Srila Prabhupada said, that if you fall into ocean, instead of thinking that how I fell, it's better to come out of it and then you can figure it out. So there could be different explanations for different living entities who have come for different reasons, you know. So ultimately the aim is to go back, and when you go back you will understand what was the reason you fell. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.